I had a great privilege a number of years ago to go on a 30-day retreat. It's from St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I actually want to talk about what happened right after I finished that retreat. You can imagine I was just in a very spiritually blessed place, just knew the Lord so intimately. And on the way out, I had stopped at a gas station to put air into my tires because it hadn't moved in 30 days. And as I'm there filling up my tires, I see a man come walking towards me. I was in a city, and he was obviously a homeless man. He had dressed rather shabbily. And the first thought that went through my head was, I've only got a 20 in my pocket. And sure enough, he comes up and he says, you know, can you help me? I need some food. I'm trying to go to McDonald's, get something to eat. And to this day, I'm still ashamed of my response to him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. And the man walked away, went past. Within minutes, I'd regretted what I'd done. In fact, I even turned around to try to look for him, but he was pretty long gone already by that point. But it really humbles me to look back and to know that I really was truly in a beautiful spiritual place with God. And yet I was so unwilling to love Jesus and my neighbor. I think of all the saints who encountered Christ when they helped the poor, right? St. Francis of Assisi, St. Vincent de Paul, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. When they were assisting a poor person, they literally saw the face of Jesus in them. And now I've helped many poor people, and sometimes it's the right time or not the right time, don't get me wrong. But when I look back at that moment, something in me is convicted, and I know that was Jesus. And I turned him away. Jesus is talking to us today, not about our spiritual life. He talks very much about that. We're really not good at that today in our society, okay? But that's not what he's talking about today. What he's talking about today is action. The scholar says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what does Jesus respond? Before he talks about the Good Samaritan, I'll get back to me and this guy, okay? But I don't want to miss his first response, actually, because it's really important. In fact, I think that probably Jesus' first response is harder for us today in our world than the Good Samaritan response. What was the first thing Jesus said? He said, well, what does the law say? Jesus refers to the law. How do I get to eternal life? Jesus says, well, what does the law say? What's the law? What's he talking about? It's the whole law of the Old Testament. All of God's teaching up until Jesus. It's summarized in the Ten Commandments, right? The tablets that Moses got on the mountain from God himself and they put in the Ark of the Covenant, right? The law of God. The scholar, he replies, and he summarizes, though, just like Jesus did, those Ten Commandments. He says, well, so commandments 1 through 3 are love of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's commandments 4 through 10. And then what does Jesus say? You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Let those words sink in for a moment today. Follow this law and you will have life. That's what Jesus says. Why does God give us the law? Because he wants us to live. God wants us to flourish in who he has created us to be. And he knows our nature. He knows how he's created us. And he says, this is how you will come alive. By doing this and avoiding that, that's what will make you come alive. And in fact, in the first reading, it says that this law isn't something that God just made up or something out there that we're supposed to figure out. It says, no, this law is actually written in your heart. This is something that's so close to you. It's literally in your nature. It's the way I've created you. The Catechism calls it the natural law. That we can actually simply look out and know what is right and what is wrong. What is good and what is bad. That's hard for us today, actually, isn't it? He says, no, like, this law of God will bring you life. So why do we need the law if it's so written in our hearts? Why is it so hard? Well, because we're fallen. Because since Adam and Eve, there's actually something wrong in here. All of the thoughts I have that are disordered, that don't follow what God tells me and what's actually good for me. All of the feelings I have that are actually disordered, that don't actually follow what God teaches and what I know is good for me. The desires I have, the things I want to do that I know that actually aren't good for me, but I do them anyway, right? They actually harm me. And so the law, what it does is it reminds us of who we are, of our nature, that no, you are created in the image of God. And if you do this, that's how you will have life. So the first step to love then means that actually I follow the law of God. I obey that natural law that's written within every single one of us. So let's just take this for a moment. What does this mean? How does this play out? Well, in a very basic, classic way, no matter who is standing in front of me, who I am or who's standing in front of me, no matter their nationality, no matter their language, no matter the color of their skin, no matter what they look like, no matter if they're a man or a woman, no matter if they're Republican or Democrat, you can keep going, right? No matter who's in front of me, that my first step that I must take is to respect and honor the nature of that person. That this person is a person created in the image and likeness of God. And my first duty of response is to love them. Is to love the person that is before me. Period. Because they are good. Now let me take this a step further. Because this is actually where it gets more difficult today, I think. When the person that I'm thinking of or judging or talking to actually doesn't respect and honor their own nature. You could make this in many different ways, but I think the first ones that come to our minds today, what happens when the person in front of me doesn't recognize the goodness of their own nature, of how God has created them, and thinks that I'm not really a man or a woman or even a human, that I'm an animal? I want to affirm. We want to affirm people. Yeah, right? Our heart just wants to do that. But actually, the first step of love, Jesus says, is to honor and respect your nature. How God has created you to be, that it's actually good. That you are the image of God. And you are good just as he's made you. As a human, as a man, and as a woman. That even if you don't recognize or honor that, I do. And I will love you the way God has created you. We're all fallen. We all have stuff wrong with us. We all have disorderedness within us. Absolutely. Every single one of us has this. But in your nature, actually, you are good. And Jesus says you are the image of God. And so for eternal life, the first step is to do this, to follow this law, and you will live. Now, of course, we know it doesn't end there, right? Jesus goes deeper with this. The scholar says, but who's my neighbor? What? It's not just the law. It's not enough just to state a law, just to give a truth. I want you to kind of take the story of the Good Samaritan and basically bring it down, summarize it, and take one takeaway today. What is it that makes the Good Samaritan help the man on the side of the road? Jesus says that he was moved with compassion at the sight. It's not enough just to look out and judge the truth. We actually have to let our hearts be moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion at the suffering that this man had been through in the situation he was in. And he wouldn't let himself simply walk away. He went down in the ditch and he picked him up and he went way out of his way and out of his life to take the time to be there next to this man, as Jesus says later, to be his neighbor. You see, that's what I failed to do to that man who was begging from me. I honored his dignity, the goodness of his nature, but I hardened my heart. I didn't let myself be moved with compassion. I didn't put myself in his shoes to say, what would it be like if I got up this morning and I didn't have food and I didn't have any money to get any food? And even as he was walking up, I hardened my heart against him, preparing myself to be able to say no. Do we let our hearts be moved with compassion? Because Jesus says this is absolutely necessary if we are truly going to love our neighbor. It's so easy just to be indifferent and to judge everyone from outside. Just no, no, no. You have to step into their shoes and let yourself be moved by the pain, the hurt, the suffering, whatever it is that this person is going through in front of you. Do you let your heart be moved with compassion at the poverty that you see in whoever it is? Do you let your heart be moved with compassion at the images of war and of suffering that are still just constantly going on, that we almost get hardened to? Do you let your heart be moved with compassion at the pictures of the migrants at our border? Do you let your heart be moved with compassion at the woman or the man that is in a difficult pregnancy and this woman doesn't know what to do in this situation? Do you let your heart be moved with compassion when that transgender person is right in front of me and speaking to me? Or I see the furry, to be moved by the pain, the confusion, and the dysphoria that they're going through? Do you let your heart, you can even say, be moved with compassion at the world around us, that so often by our actions of being so selfish and consumerist, we're destroying it by how we're treating it? Do you let your heart be moved with compassion to put yourself in their shoes? Now, it's not that this gives you the answer necessarily, but what it does is it changes the whole situation. That I'm no longer outside of you. I put myself in your shoes, and now I'm here with you, and I'm sharing what you're going through. I make myself your neighbor. And now I can truly love. After all, isn't this what Jesus did to us? Actually, the point of the whole story, the point of the story is that it's actually us. In our fallen human nature, we're the ones on the side of the road. When that man came up to me, I had the opportunity to be a good Samaritan, didn't I? I didn't do it. And that moment, the moment that I refused to be the good Samaritan, I became the one on the side of the road. You see? It was my fallen human nature at that moment, being selfish. And when I repented of that act and I turned to Jesus and I went to confession, and I did, even as I think back on it, Jesus looking upon me in that moment, Jesus looked at me and he let his heart be moved with compassion at the sight of me stuck in myself there. And he was so moved that he came down into the ditch to pick you and me up and put you and me on his shoulders to tend our hurts and our wounds of our life that have placed us in the position, some our own fault and some not our fault at all, and to heal them and to tend to them, especially with the sacraments that he gives us in the grace of the church, and then puts us on his own animal, carries us on his shoulders and takes that cross and then pays the price for us and sheds his blood so that I could live. That's what the Good Samaritan did. Just like Jesus asked at the end of the story, who was neighbor to the robber's victim? And the answer was, the one who treated him with mercy, with compassion. And then Jesus says, then you go and do likewise. If we want to inherit eternal life, then that's what we have to do as well.